Joining us in the studio now is Beth Dooley, chef and award-winning author of several cookbooks. She's here to talk about her latest, Sweet Nature, which celebrates two natural sweeteners, honey and maple syrup. Welcome, Beth.
Oh, thanks. It's lovely to be here. What a day. God, it's so gorgeous out.
Isn't it wonderful? Yeah. Well, we are so happy that you are here. And this book that you just wrote is a joint project with Mette Nielsen.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And you've worked with her before.
Yes. She's a wonderful, wonderful photographer and an amazing cook and a fabulous gardener. So, and I'm not much of a gardener. I'm more of a shopper.
Okay.
So we partner really well together.
Nice.
And she takes the most amazing photos and then I write things up. So that's how we collaborate.
Nice. Well, it is a beautiful, beautiful book. And I like to be able to see pictures of what it's supposed to look like when I'm done making it.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's really great. What was the inspiration for this book with the honey and the maple syrup?
You know, that's a great question. The book that we did right before that was Savory Sweet, which is doing condiments and preserves really quickly. And that came out of, that was preceded by the Farmer's Market cookbook, Minnesota's Bounty. And we worked together on Minnesota's Bounty. And again, because she grew too much stuff and I shopped too much stuff at the farmer's market, we then said, well, let's come up with a pickling preserving book. And in the process of doing that, we realized that we wanted to cut back on the amount of sugar in the jams and jellies and the preserves that we were testing recipes for. So then we started to ask the question, what sweeteners could we use that are local? Because our focus has always been local. And when we started working with them, we realized what incredible ingredients they can be, not just for sweet foods, but for savory foods as well. And that sort of launched us into Sweet Nature.
Nice. Well, you know, it's not just recipes. You're also giving an education. You're talking about honey and the different honeys and and the different grades of the maple syrup. Can you touch on that for a little
bit? Yeah. You know, I think this whole sort of sector is exploding. It's right in line with the local food movement, mm-hmm. right? And so our beekeepers are getting very intentional about single source honey so that the different honeys will reflect what the bees have been feasting on. And Ames Farm, for instance, is really good at that. And so are many of the other local beekeepers. So you have prairie flower honey. You have buckwheat honey, which is very dark and viscous. And then there's lovely light locust honey or basswood honey. They all have different flavors. And so we wanted to use those in ways that really complemented what that honey tasted like.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of maple syrup, within the past 7 or 8 years, the U.S. and Canada have come up with grades of maple syrup. And all that means is, you know, the shopper knows what they're getting. It doesn't mean one is better than the other. They're all grade A. But the amber syrup, for instance, is very light and delicate. That's the first tapping. And then as the season progresses, the syrup gets darker. And so by the end of the season, you have a very dark, very rich tasting syrup. And again, they can be used on different things in different ways. And we wanted to call out those flavors too.
Well, I never thought about it like that. I always, when I'm buying real maple syrup, I go for the lighter one.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference when you are eating it, not baking with it?
Yeah, I do, actually. I mean, I like the lighter syrup if I really want to taste something delicate, for instance. Mm-hmm. If I have a very light, fluffy biscuit or a very light scone, I will put the delicate amber syrup on that. If I really want that strong, mapley flavor, if that's important to whatever I'm making, whether it's a glaze for a cake, for instance, or maybe I'm going to make an old-fashioned, then I'll use a very dark, very mapley tasting syrup. So again, it depends on what it is you're going to use it for.
Nice. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Beth Dooley, author of the book Sweet Nature, A Cook's Guide to Using Honey and Maple Syrup, published by University of Minnesota Press. So that would be available in our local stores.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes. North House carries it. North House Folk School carries it. And I believe Drury Lane does as well. Yeah.
Well, let's get back to those recipes a little bit. Did you, how did you come up with this book? Did you take tried and true recipes and then alter them? Or did you start making new recipes out of the air?
We started with familiar things, okay. And we started with familiar flavors that we knew either the flavor of a particular honey or a particular maple syrup might work really well on. And then we began to replace things, knowing, for instance, that a very, very dark, viscous syrup, like the dark, dark maple syrup, might be good in a barbecue sauce. Mm. We started replacing the molasses with that syrup to see what happened. The same thing with buckwheat honey, which tastes very much like molasses. We use that in a ginger cake. And so you get the same kind of sensibility, but it's just a little different. I think it has a nicer flavor. It's a little bit brighter tasting, okay. So it works beautifully with ginger. And then you can replace granulated sugar for maple sugar 1-to-1. And I've fallen in love with maple sugar. I don't use white sugar anymore because white sugar is very neutral tasting. It has no flavor, actually. And maple sugar has a flavor, and so it adds another level of flavor to whatever baked good you're making, and it makes a fabulous pound cake, makes an absolutely wonderful cookie, sugar cookie, because you can taste the maple. And because it has a flavor, I find myself cutting back on the sugar content by about 1/4 cup. So we have a brownie recipe in the book that's fabulous because the maple adds that sort of smokiness, which really mm-hmm. complements the dark chocolate. And we've cut back on the amount of sugar in that recipe by 1/4 cup. So it really, and again, you know, maple, it's not that you want to eat a lot of any sugar, it doesn't matter, but maple especially has a lower glycemic index than does white sugar. So it does impact our body a little differently.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you put the best of the best recipes in this cookbook. Did you have any disasters when you were coming up with these recipes?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, of course we did. Yeah. Of course you always do. You make something and you go, that didn't work too well. Uh-huh. And but honestly, I'm trying to remember what they were. There wasn't anything that was so disastrous. It set the kitchen on fire, it uh-huh. boiled over and stuck to the stove. Nothing really terrible. Mostly because the recipes in the book are really quick and really simple, and they're not odd. You know, they're not really far out recipes, and we weren't trying to do anything terribly ambitious. We're not making maple taffy, for instance, mm-hmm. Or something that you'd need a temperature thermometer for, or any of that. It's all pretty straightforward.
Well, the book is beautiful, and I went through and marked several pages of recipes that I want to make, but I did make the wild rice and cranberry pilaf.
Oh, good, good.
But I didn't have hazelnuts.
Oh.
And so I used pecans. Because
that sounds great.
It was. Yeah. It was fabulous. Yeah. It was really, really good. And yes. Very basic and yummy. Just
yeah.
yummy.
Oh, I'm so glad. And that's the idea of the recipes. If you don't have something, uh-huh. don't fret. These are very, very flexible. Use what you have. Use what's in season. That recipe, I believe, calls for fresh cranberries. If you don't uh-huh. have fresh cranberries, use apples or use something from the season. At this time of year, you could actually throw in a little bit of stewed rhubarb, for instance, and that would be terrific. You know, they're very, very flexible. The reason why that particular recipe has hazelnuts in it is because Minnesota and Wisconsin have launched a million hazelnut challenge where we're trying to get more hazelnuts on the land because they're so sustainable. And the local nuts that grow here are tiny and flavor-packed and really delicious. And more growers are starting to integrate them into their farming practices. And there is the American Hazelnut Company, which is pressing hazelnut oil and grinding hazelnuts for hazelnut flour, which is delicious. And then you can buy their nuts online. And we're starting to see them in co-ops. So we'll start seeing them in the market pretty soon. But we're pretty excited about that because that's the other point of this book,
sure.
is to support the local growers, support the local people that are making these amazing products. And we need more bees and we need more trees. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. Wonderful. Now today, you are one very busy lady. Today, you taught two classes at North House Folk School, back to back.
Yeah.
So that's why you're here on the North Shore.
Yes, exactly.
Is because of these classes.
Yeah.
What did you teach?
Well, I love North House. So, you know, whenever they say, will you come up and teach? I always say yes, because it's such an amazing place. The people there are super nice. The classes are really interesting. The people that come to the classes are fabulous. They almost create their own little dinner party while we're cooking. And so the first class was from the book, Sweet Nature. And it was, we did a honey tasting, we did a maple sugar and a maple syrup tasting, and then we made a number of different things out of the book. The second class was called, S's for spring greens. And so we used a lot of the early spring greens in that class, garlic scapes and fiddlehead ferns and morels and some of the other mushrooms. And we did a number of stir fries and frittata. We did a tart. We made a miso soup with mushrooms that had had fiddleheads in it. It was really good. So yeah, we had fun. We really had fun.
And you're a little bit ahead of us down in the cities.
We are.
Yes.
We are. We have ramps down there. I had to bring things up from the cities because there isn't much coming out up here.
Sure. Well, like I said, you are a busy woman. What events do you have coming up?
Well, you're nice to ask. I'm actually going to be in Rockford, Minnesota tomorrow. They have a big food festival there. And then we'll be in Cambridge at one of the bookstores, Cambridge, Minnesota, at one of the bookstores. And then I'm really excited about this because we're going down to Decorah to do a cooking demo down at the Decorah Farmers Market. But we're going to be so near Seed Savers, which is one of the most beautiful places on earth. So we'll stop at Seed Savers and say hi to them as well. There's so much going on with local food here. Uh-huh. I mean, I really think we're becoming the next Northern Italy or something. You know, we've got wonderful producers and great growers, so we're lucky.
That's great.
Yeah.
I've been speaking with Beth Dooley, award-winning author of several cookbooks. She's been in town teaching at North House Folk School, and we are lucky enough to have her in the studio to talk about her latest book, Sweet Nature, A Cook's Guide to Using Honey and Maple Syrup. Beth, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Boy, you know, just that I'm so grateful all this is going on and there's so much interest. So I think just cook a lot, eat well.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're busy and we really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. It was really fun. Thank you.